Have you ever thought about energy in terms of awareness, attention, or focus? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and the owner of The Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find us online at www.thezenroom.net. And today we're going to be talking about energy flow. Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. So before we dive into today's topic, I had a really interesting question posed to me earlier this week from one of my clients who asked me, how do you choose your topic for your podcast? And there's one of two ways. The first and most prevalent one is through meditation. I'll just kind of get quiet with my mind, sit in meditation, with the intention of asking the quiet or the silence what my topic of the day should be today. That's one way. The other way is a very self-serving way, which is if I have found myself having the same conversation over and over and over and over in a period of time, it is completely self-serving because I say, okay, this is obviously a hot topic. I've had it 22 times this week. I think I'm going to do a podcast on it so then I can take this hot topic, polish it up, put it in a hopefully nice, consistent, and clear message package, and then send it out to the masses. So that way, if the conversation comes up again, I said, oh, I just did a podcast on this. Why don't you go check it out? So I just had to throw that little tidbit in there. But that does dovetail nicely, I hope, into today's conversation, which is around energy flow. So, this will be the 12th time that I've had this conversation. So again, it's a trending topic and I'm using this trending topic to hopefully shed some light on the subject for all of you listeners. So, I'm sure we've all heard the term or the quote, energy flows where attention goes. It's probably a meme you've seen on Facebook. It's probably a quote that you've heard motivational speakers use. Let me repeat it again. Energy flows where attention goes. So the analogy that I've been using all week this week is the analogy of burning a leaf with a magnifying glass and the sun. And I want you to imagine that you have seven leaves in front of you on the sidewalk. And they're kind of dried up, crispy leaves. Maybe it's fall. And you have a magnifying glass. And you have, it's noon and the sun is high in the sky and it's hot. I want you to imagine what would happen if you focused all of the energy of the sun on one leaf. You didn't move that magnifying glass at all. You stayed there and you just held the focus of all of the sun's energy, all of the sun's rays through the magnifying glass on one hot spot on one leaf. What you will find is you will burn a hole in the leaf and the leaf will, if the leaf is dry enough, it'll ignite. Okay, that's scenario one. Now I want you to imagine on a separate day, you've got seven dried up leaves on the sidewalk. And I want you to imagine that you spend 20 seconds on one leaf and then you move the magnifying glass and then you spend 20 seconds on another leaf. And then you move the magnifying glass and you spend 20 seconds on another leaf. And then another leaf gets 5 seconds and then another leaf gets 13 seconds. And you're just sort of moving that magnifying glass very slowly from leaf to leaf, not giving the sun's energy or the heat of the ray of the sun much of an opportunity to burn a hole in any leaf. You're just sort of sprinkling, okay? It's going to take a lot longer for any one of the leaves to ignite, if at all. I'd actually have to do the experiment to see how long it would take and how long, I don't know. But my common sense tells me it's going to take quite a bit longer to get any one of the leaves to ignite, if I am dividing the attention of the magnifying glass across seven leaves equally. So when I was meditating on the topic, it became clear to me, well, whether the energy is from the energy of the sun or the energy of our own thoughts, awareness, focus, and attention, the two are very similar. So let's just say that you are somebody who is really passionate about subject A. Passion, by the way, is a ton of energy. Passion, love, excitement, that is a lot of energy. You can feel it bubbling up in your solar plexus. It's very exciting. And on the same account, anger is also a very strong energy. So what we're looking to do, since we are all looking to have a life that we enjoy living, we have to keep our focus and our mind on what we want. Okay, so again, let's just say that you are passionately, I know I used this analogy last week, but I'm going to use it again because I think there's a lot of people transitioning from what I have to do to earn a living to what I want to do to be feeling fulfilled. So let's just say that you want to build your business. And let's say that you are building your business to become a, a singer, a professional singer. Let's say that you spend 20 minutes a day singing and 5 minutes a day playing piano, and then an hour a day getting irritated by the news on the television, and maybe 20 minutes a day doing something totally irrelevant. Right? So you can already start to see you have these different piles, and some of these piles require your attention. I get it. For moms and dads out there, you have a pile called family, and the family is going to require a ton of your time and attention and awareness and thought and focus and all of that. But what I'm actually asking you to do, if you were to take your 24 hours in a day, if you were to say, right, here are my 24 hours. So therefore, time is one of those things that is finite. Again, 24 hours in a day. You spend a certain amount of that time sleeping, a certain amount of that time eating, but for your free time, the free time that you have, that you're not committed to doing something very obligatory, and it doesn't even need to be obligatory, meaning a bad thing. We need to cook meals for our family. That is an obligation, hopefully a passionate one, that we have. That is not going to go away. What I'm talking about is the free time. I'm talking about the free time where I could actually be either me recording this podcast or laying on the couch watching a television program and zoning out, or allowing myself to get massively distracted. I have chosen, and there's nothing wrong with zoning out on the TV. I love to do that in moderate amounts because I've got so much other stuff that I need to be doing, that I want to be doing, that I'm passionate about. So for me, I really love what I do for a living. If I'm going to be reading a book, I'm going to be reading a book on energy medicine or meditation or parables around the human journey and the hero's journey. I gravitate towards that. I focus so much of my energy on what I do for a living. So much of my time and energy and focus and awareness is spent on this, either doing podcasts or blogs or newsletters or Reiki work or meditation work or intuitive classes or putting together a newsletter to promote an intuitive class so that I can get that out to you guys. Like, I spend an enormous amount of time on my passion, which is energy work and intuitive work and all that kind of stuff. And because so much of my energy goes towards this one leaf, it absolutely ignites, without a doubt. My husband, for anybody who's listening to this podcast for any length of time, knows my husband is a dog trainer. If I wake up in the morning and I see him in his chair with a book, I don't even have to ask what the book topic is about. I know he is reading about dog, dog psychology, dog behavior, canine tendencies. The man lives and breathes dogs. He absolutely loves what he does for a living, and it isn't just what he does, it is who he is. So he has the same kind of passion about dogs that I do about my world. I can't remember the last time that I read a book that didn't have something to do with my world, and I can't remember the last time Chad read a book about anything other than dogs. So again, it is who we are. So the first thing that I am very appreciative of is it's so nice to have a job that I love so much that it's actually how I want to spend my free time too. So for those of you who are thinking about maybe getting out of the rat race of surviving and moving into a world where you're actually making a living doing something that you enjoy, maybe that have that be a keystone. Maybe have that be something that makes you say, what would I want to read about, talk about, learn about, educate myself on in my free time? That might help give you a little bit of direction on your path to finding your calling. But anyhow, I digress. I took my magnifying glass away from my point for a second and went down a quick little rabbit hole, so I'm bringing the topic back. So again, if energy flows where attention goes, the question is, how many piles of leaves do you have, or how many individual leaves do you have, and how much attention are you giving any one of them? For a lot of times people will say, gosh, it's taking so long for me to get my fill in the blank off the ground, or to get my whatever off the ground. I will sometimes ask them, well, how much attention are you giving? So here again, going back to my, I want to grow up and be a singer. You listen to people who have that as their passion. They dive in. They play the piano. They are on their computers messing with melodies and rhythms, and they are taking vocal lessons, and they are practicing their me's in the shower every day, and they live and breathe music. I remember I heard a story about Jewel, the famous singer Jewel, the folk singer. Read an article about her, how she was actually living in her car, playing music. That's like what she did. She lived in her car, played music, made recordings of the music that she did. She lived and breathed music. It was what she did. And boy, that paid off for her big time. The stories that you hear about people who have quote unquote made it, whatever that means to you, if they're happy and they're doing what they love for a living, and they're fulfilled and they're living their passion, that's a great way of quote unquote making it, in my opinion. But they live and breathe, right? Football players who are dedicated to the sport, they don't play once in a while. Practice is a all the time thing. They are either in the gym, getting cut, or doing something special with their whatever, stretching, and I don't know. Clearly, I'm not a football player. But I know my nephew is playing high school football, and my other nephew played high school football as well. So I have gone to those high school games and watched the dedication that they have and hear about their practice schedule, and I'm like, dang, that's really good. That's great. And they love it. Like, it's not a drag to them. They are totally all in. So they put massive amounts of attention on their football discipline, structure, whatever that looks like. So if we can take a cue from them, if we can take a cue from my nephews or the people that we spot and say, how did you do that and what's your secret? I guarantee you they put enormous amounts of attention, energy, focus on their craft, on their creativity, on their passion. So if you're finding that things are maybe taking a little bit longer than you thought to get off the ground, my first question would be, is it what you want? Because if the passion's not there, that's going to be an indicator. And number two, are you spreading your energy in so many different places that you're not igniting any one leaf or giving any one leaf enough attention? So, that's food for thought. The other thing to think about is there are activities that we do all the time that allow us to tune in, that allow us to take all of that energy and get very focused. So a lot of times, whether you call it meditation or visualization, that's a solo activity that is really, really powerful for focusing your attention, focusing your awareness. Tiger Woods will spend enormous amounts of time visualizing the perfect golf swing, visualizing his golf club hitting the ball just right, visualize sinking the putt. He is one of those examples of, you know, an incredible athlete that uses meditation and or visualization to focus his energy towards his passion. Writing on the subject, for those of you who like to write, doing blogs, writing articles on the subject. My husband is always writing. If he's not reading about dogs, he's writing about dogs. Or training dogs. If I'm not working my energy on clients, then I am blogging about it or podcasting about it or setting up a class to teach it. Setting intentions. Some people do that in all different kinds of ways. Some people will maybe do a crystal grid and write their intention down in the middle of the crystal grid, and then they'll pay attention to that. Or they might write down, they might put together a vision board, or they might write little messages on their mirror, whatever. That is, you know, setting an intention and being reminded of your intention. And then you've got things that happen that we engage in, either voluntarily or involuntarily, that actually diffuse that energy big time. So instead of being laser focused with our magnifying glass, it gets diffused. Television in public places, I have noticed when there's a TV in the room, the conversation almost stops. Maybe that's a little extreme depending on what TV or what channel you're watching. But I remember, I am old enough where you would go to a restaurant, you wouldn't find a TV in the restaurant, no way. Because that's where you dined, that's where you had conversation. You go into a restaurant now, or you go into particularly a bar, obviously, if there's a TV on, people are zoned out watching the TV and eating their food. They're not having a conversation with the person that they came to have a meal with. When my husband and I go out to eat, and if we are sitting at the bar, which we do a lot because I like to engage with, there's like a community within the bar. People are very friendly. You're sitting next to a stranger, which I always enjoy because you're like, hey, how are you? What's your name? And you're meeting new people. And the bartender's always there, and there's a really cool sense of community. But Chad and I have to make a conscious effort to not get sucked in by the TV. And it happens. It just absolutely happens. So he'll have to go, hey, over here, or I'll have to do the same, because it's almost an automatic thing. So if we're getting sucked into the TV, literally sucked into the TV, I bet you if you were to watch people watching TV, they would look like they were hypnotized. We're getting sucked into the TV. What we're not doing is talking about, hey, how was your day? Hey, I had this really cool thing happen. Hey, you know, so again, that is an energy diffuser. So being very aware and mindful of, am I taking time and energy and attention and focusing it in a direction that I absolutely want? Number one. Am I absolutely focusing it in a direction that I don't want? That's also really important to know so that you can correct that. Or am I diffusing my energy completely, almost tapping out and getting sucked in by my environment, either by video games or by television, or by, am I being hypnotized by some sort of external programming in my environment, right? All of those things are around us all the time, and it's not anything to be upset with or mad about or whatever. It's basically giving you an opportunity to be the captain of your ship being your awareness or your focus, and saying, where do I want to drive my ship? And sometimes you're going to have, you know, if you find yourself distracted, you're going to have to be very rigorous about driving your ship. And sometimes it's going to be easier than others. But the idea is, to be mindful, to put your focus on what you want to do, where you want to go, who you're becoming, who you are right now, what's working for you, and then step into that. And on that same note, Socrates has a really great quote. He has a lot of great quotes. I actually have one right above my own personal treatment room that says, "Know thyself." It's a really good quote because most people are not spending much time knowing who they are or what they want or who they intrinsically are at their core. But another quote that Socrates has is this: "The secret of change is to focus all of your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new." Let me say that again. The secret of change is to focus all of your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new. So, whether you are Tony Robbins, and if you go on to the Tony Robbins website, you will see where focus goes, energy flows, and he's going to ask you to focus on your goals. He's going to ask you to focus on what you want. He's going to give you tips on how to focus your energy. Tony Robbins absolutely says meditation and exercise are the top two ways to focus your energy. He also uses music a lot. We are hardwired to enjoy music. He uses music a lot in his program. So there are other, you will hear this term a lot. Energy flows where attention goes. So ask yourself, where is your attention going? The sun knows this, and it's the most powerful energy source that we have. So if we can, well, I guess, unless you think of the collective of mankind, that actually might be more powerful than the sun. There's no way for me to know that, and I haven't seen any data on the subject, but if we think of what is our heat source for the planet, it's the sun, but us as a collection of human beings, we are incredibly powerful as well. So let's take our cue from the sun. Notice the benefit and the power of directing that energy into a specific location and use it to have a passionate life that we're excited to wake up and live. All right, everyone, so take some stock of where you are, where your attention's going, how many piles of leaves you have, and if you're wanting to really ignite something in your life, spend more time, energy, focus, and awareness doing that. All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. May the Force be with you, and I will be chatting with you soon. Take care now.